the Ag Update. Got Chad with me here.
Howdy.
And I got Jason and Derek. Who are you guys? Introduce yourself.
Who are we?
Yeah, who are you?
Go ahead, Derek.
Derek Davis, our COO, and also working very closely with our agronomy division.
Jason Schwinnaker here today, CEO of Nexus.
And Jason, he's actually a returning champion.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last one.
We did.
As
I think he's our original guest.
What did I call
Kruger? I was the first guest.
Yeah,
you were the first guest.
What did we call Kruger?
I thought it was returning champion.
It's like when we bring all the retired Hall of Fame vets, the Hall of Fame guys to the Canton, Ohio deal.
Like the Hall of Fame game.
Jason's the Hall of Fame guy coming back for the podcast.
I'm not old enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Well, they're trying to give you a knock here. So today we're kind of going to do a nice little open roundtable of Nexus. Really just kind of open frame, whatever you want to talk about, whatever we, I guess Chad and I have some outline stuff that we can talk about, but first of all, introduce yourselves. I mean, beyond who you are, we already know who you are, but tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, like maybe where you came from, why you're where you're at, maybe some hobbies. And then I'm going to throw a wild card. I want your favorite color.
You want me to start?
Go for it.
Yeah. So born and raised in Illinois, Quad City area. Early 2000s, moved out to central Nebraska and was really focused on just farming at that point. Wasn't able to stay on the home farm, just a little too small. Spent about 15, 16 years in Nebraska between managing row crop operations. My wife and I thought it'd be a good idea that maybe we jump into the cooperative system, get a little more time at home. So, yeah, we've been laughing about it ever since.
More time at home?
That's, yeah. Oh, okay. It's a novel idea.
Yeah, it is.
In theory.
Yeah. So, yeah, roughly right around that, I'd say 2008 timeframe, moved over to the cooperative system. And really my career started from there, started as a single location manager, very small, moved into regional operations and then COO and, 2019 came up to Northeast Iowa to Viafield and had an opportunity of several different roles with the company between, regional operations, COO and CEO, prior to the merger. And then my favorite color is going to be, I'd say green.
Green?
Green.
Okay. Green for go.
Green for
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
We just talked about him being the hare and you're not the tortoise. You clearly said you're not the tortoise. I'm not that.
What kind of hobbies do you got before we get to Jason? Yeah. I mean, what kind of hobbies can it, when you're not?
You got to limit yourself here. We don't have, you know, 2 hours to
all
go.
All day. Sure.
We don't have all day to talk about.
I think the big one would be competition shooting. Spend a lot of time on that in the summertime. And then really outdoor sports, hunting and fishing in the wintertime.
Okay.
Perfect. Sweet. Jason?
My turn?
Yeah.
Let's start with a little background. So graduate of Iowa State, so Iowa State fan all in all, undergrad there and post-grad as well. I started out my career in the cooperative system back in early 2000s for a small cooperative outside of Des Moines as a JV between the Farmers Elevator and AGP Grains. I started out as a grain merchandiser for a few years or a handful of years, sorry, before jumping into renewable fuels for about 14, 15 years and spending some time growing a company there in the renewable fuel sector before coming back to the cooperative sector here about 3.5-4 years ago. And so really since then, been with Northern Country, which obviously a legacy company, Northern and Viafield rolling into Nexus Cooperative. So made that move here about 3.5-4 years ago, coming into the cooperative space there. And currently leading the company as far as CEO, as far as Nexus Cooperative. So as far as things going on, as far as hobbies and so forth, I don't know. I always tell
besides
people,
work.
I was going to say I joke with work.
That's a hard one.
It is a hard one. Anybody that knows me, it's like, yes, I work weird hours. And sometimes people will see, I know the other day somebody come in and said, the hell were you doing emailing me at 2:00 in the morning? It's like, well, I don't know. It was on my mind. What the hell? Right. So yeah, I work. I like to spend a lot of time outside, especially winter, summer sports, whatever you can do as well. Just like to get out, like the hobby farm as well. My brother and I have a small farming operation in Western Iowa. I grew up in Western Iowa. It's one thing Dad did say is get the hell out of here whenever we grew up and try to go do something versus raising cattle. Of course, now looking at cattle, the cattle market's pretty darn good. Yeah, so I wish I had some cow-calf right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So.
And your favorite color?
I'm going to go the opposite of Derek and go red.
For Nexus?
That, my first vehicle was red. And my first vehicle was red, and I didn't know this until after the fact. Fun fact. So the most pulled over vehicle is red.
Yep.
I figured that out the hard way.
That's why Derek doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
Another fun fact. I don't have a red vehicle and I still get pulled over and get speeding tickets.
That's because black is probably number two.
That's probably the easiest one to spot on the radar gun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad, what do you want to get into a couple topics here and then we can go from there?
Yeah.
What
are you thinking? So, I mean, what we wanted to kind of talk about is just, you know, a roundtable discussion because we all were here when this happened, I guess, it was the merger of the two companies. So maybe let's just have a little discussion of how that kind of started and what got us there and how things are going so far.
Yeah, I'll start with a little bit of how we got here. It goes back probably now almost 2.5 years ago, probably if not more, if I try to think of the exact dates. The company started working together on the grain front and formed a JV with another company as well, where we started bringing our expertise together and really working together. It was more about, some was about, buying and selling power, those types of things, but it was more about talent and sharing the talent with others that, we could as well and arbitraging across our positions. As quickly realized whenever we started getting into this that, yeah, there was opportunities, but then started talking more and more. Derek and I obviously started working together very, very closely on all fronts, not just grain, pretty much all departments, a lot of collaborating. And that's one thing the cooperatives do. The cooperative model was built for, working together, partnering and, doing things that best serve, your shareholders, your farmers, things like that. So we were obviously always looking for opportunities and we saw some pretty good opportunities right away where it was pretty apparent where, holy cow, we got some really, really cool efficiencies we got from the agronomy side more than anything. Don't get me wrong, all departments, there's great efficiencies, but we saw a big need in agronomy from operations side as far as efficiencies through some of our organizations where we weren't over the top of each other as far as Northern and Viafield. We were very complementary as far as being right next to each other, and we didn't have a lot of shared customers. When it came down to it and actually coming down to the vote as well, neither one of us counted to see exactly how many dual memberships we had, but we always kind of said in different meetings, somewhere between Toterville and Northwood, there's always probably anywhere between 10 and 15 growers that are probably shared type of growers right in that area. Outside of that, we didn't have much overlap as far as companies, very complementary to each other. And that was a cool part because sometimes when these things come together, you got all this competition and you're on top of each other already. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? And quite frankly, we took that argument out of the equation, especially whenever we're going to the country, talking to the farmer about it.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you'll have, like you said, the animosity side. Well, then you got two groups that got to get together and then, they don't want to work together because they've been beating each other's heads in for 15 years.
Well, on that point, Chad, actually, that's the one part whenever I have other colleagues in the industry or across the Midwest, I ask, how's it going or how did it go? And Derek and I will say, and I continue to say at different meetings I go to, it's still going remarkably well. And I still give it credit to the fact that we started working together beforehand and a lot of collaboration between different departments. Doesn't matter if it's, again, we said we started in the grain, as grain, feed, agronomy, the kind of the big three, and really the departments knew each other already. Even before going to vote, we were already doing things together. We were breaking bread. We were having meetings together, things like that. That's what has made this a little bit easier than what the typical one would be. I've also said out loud, I couldn't imagine doing this as slapping two companies together and not knowing each other. Where I think a lot of your problems come in.
Right. Well, and it's funny you say complimentary. You said it perfectly. You're red and green, right? One and two very different areas, but mesh pretty well together.
Yep.
That was an area that we identified right after we did start working together is, when it comes to strengths and weaknesses as people, Jason and I do offset each other really well, as well as our passions. That's where I kind of always go back to the operational side of things where most of my career has been led, but so far it's working well together.
Mm-hmm. I remember, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? We did that scavenger hunt together.
The whole Des Moines.
That was awesome.
That was a good one.
Maybe 2 years ago this coming summer.
July, yeah. August. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like 2 years ago. No. It felt like last summer, honestly.
Yeah. That was fun. I mean, I remember having some discussions before that, and it's like, okay, do I need to go to this? And I was like, I was glad to go because after it's like, oh, I got time to do this. Or
I think everybody had that feeling, right?
Yeah, I think we all did because it's like we're kind of, you know, working on some stuff, trying to finish up the fall and getting into the summer and trying to get into fall.
Yeah.
But no, it was awesome.
And Chad, when you say that, for everybody listening, that was our first experience as far as the agronomy departments coming together as two groups and just, again, breaking bread and talking and collaborating as far as how can we work together better. You might be sharing assets and things like that, but that was the very, very first experience on the agronomy front.
Yeah. And it's funny because I felt like everybody, you know, the goal, and we saw all these goals, these prizes we were going to win. And it didn't matter what brand you had on your shirt, right? Everybody was together, one team, rocking and rolling, and like super, super competitive.
Oh, God, yes.
That's the one thing I figured out, not only on their sales team, but like on the agronomy admin side, how competitive people are is awesome. It is really cool.
Oh, yeah, that was a blast because we did race some go-karts and we had to do some canoeing and everybody's like, okay, did I beat Brady's team or not? You know, it was stuff like that.
And how many people got tipped over in the lake?
I think we're okay on that, but
I was good. I know that one of the challenges was to completely submerge yourself. And I can't remember if Josh did or who did. Somebody just went in and just went down with it, like fully embraced. I'm going to be the guy to submerge myself.
Yeah.
So now that you kind of talked about the history, dive into like the last month and a half. Well, technically month and a half. For us, it has felt like 2 years already.
Do you want to go over it?
Yeah, I'd say the last month and a half, 2 months. For me, it's a continuation on what we've already started with agronomy, with our team building event down in Des Moines. I mean, that was about the perfect icebreaker.
Yeah.
Getting our teams together. Right. So, we've had an opportunity to socialize, beyond that point, last fall, the year before, we started utilizing each other's assets, agronomy, dry fertilizer, and so forth.
We did that this year.
Yeah.
This last fall, because, you know, you guys are in Northwood. You guys were pulling a lot of loads out of us because you guys are putting a new plant up in Northwood.
Absolutely.
And that wasn't quite functional yet.
Yep.
And actually worked pretty good. I mean, boy, the amount of tons they were hauling out per day, it was just crazy.
Oh, it was awesome.
Broke records every day.
I think there were some over 1,000 ton days. It's just like, holy crap, the guy running the payloader, he didn't hardly get time to even go to the bathroom all day.
Well, we just put
a hose from the cab.
Well, that's what gave us the opportunity working last fall to really see how each of the other independent companies were operating and where there were some efficiencies that we knew we could grab a hold of and push forward. So I think those are coming together well. And I'd also say just, you know, the last 2 months, I've said this a lot that, you know, when people ask how we're doing overall, how are the teams coming together from the legacy companies? I always answer with, we're further than we deserve to be right now. It's just, you know, our teams have embraced this, for the most part. I haven't felt like we've had to force feed anything on anybody, so to speak. But there's a lot of interaction from our team members as well. And when we're putting together the process, the procedures, how we're going to operate, bringing the teams together, listening to what our operations teams have to say, our sales teams, I think that's also helping move the needle overall as well.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, it's already felt like 2 years because it initially, right, that icebreaker event in Des Moines kind of felt like the start of everything.
Sure.
For us. I mean, for me, I don't know about you, Chad, you can speak on this, but that's how I feel. It feels like it's already been 2 years.
Well, I mean, it for us on the sales side, it kind of gives us another opportunity, you know, another people to network
more tools in your toolbox.
Right.
Too.
I mean, you know, like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, have somebody that has maybe an idea or concept that they're doing out of like Marble Rock or something. Want to maybe think about that or, well, we've already done that. We've moved on from that and we've gone to this or something like that and vice versa. That's happened both ways too.
Sure.
Well, I think just another set of people just to pick your brain with.
Yeah, I think when you say that about vice versa, I think as far as how it's going, reality is, you know, the vote, I don't want to take it lightly. The vote was hard. It was hard to get there. It was hard to get it done, but it was more of a, it was a formality, right? Because a lot of our employees felt like, well, we're already doing stuff together. Yeah. We're going to keep doing stuff together. And once a vote happened, it was, we were already doing it. We were already working together on different facets of the business, but really we started coming together from this, you know, that day of, and just keep continuing from every day thereafter. Really, I kept saying February 1st was purely an accounting date. It's just an inception date as far as the date that we have to put down on the documents. But before that, we've been working on it really since the vote passed, as far as coming together. Now, the last month and a half, sure, that's the official dates. Not going to lie, has there been bumps and hurdles? Yeah, absolutely. You know, but like Derek said, we're much further ahead than we probably deserve to be at right now. And again, it goes back to, I'd say everybody involved, quite frankly, the employees have made it great, and the employees are really owning it. And that's what really makes these things work or not work, as far as, you know, employees and good employees being, you know, not just bought in, but part of the process. That's one thing Derek and I really made sure of. We wanted the employees to be part of the process going through this as well. Don't get me wrong, can the employees be part of every decision, everything? No, but as far as trying to make sure we socialize and trying to keep people informed, I know I always say communication, yeah, we can always do better. Don't get me wrong, I think everybody knows in life you can always do better with communication, but we're trying, and we're always asking for feedback as well, but we're trying to keep people informed. But it's going well. Well, we still got a long ways to go. We still got a lot of things we want to do as far as improvements go. I know a lot of people, whenever you think about what we're doing, we talk a lot about the strengths from both sides, as Derek mentioned, but really, yeah, we're going to keep seeing changes, and regardless, both legacy companies, we're going to see these changes one way or the other. And we can't say that loud enough, quite frankly, that I know some customers are seeing some changes, whether you like it or not. I get it. It's just try to embrace it. Try to embrace it. But these changes were coming regardless, whether the vote happened or not. And it could be little changes. And some of these are around efficiencies or billing or order processing, things like that, that we have to get more current with the times, or really we got to get ahead of the times, quite frankly, not just always playing catch up.
Right. Well, and that's the thing that maybe most customers don't realize, what, you know, those things there. I mean, you know, like on the admin side, I mean, there's well thought out procedures of how we're going to do it. I was talking to, Barnes the other day about that. He's like, way we got to look at this thing is, if I got a bookkeeper here and she, you know, this person's gone for a day or two, I can always have one from another location to come in and help kind of pick up the slack, where at the way we were set up before, we couldn't really do that.
Well, I think it's well said there, Chad, where you can have the same process done around the company, where, again, like you said, that person could be gone. You could have a person 50 miles away jump in and do the billing or the ordering, things like that.
Or the scouting or visit with a guy, you know,
we didn't have that before. So if somebody was gone, I'm going to use maybe billing as an example. If somebody was gone, well, guess what? Those bills just piled up until that person got back, and it could be a week, it could be a day, it could be 2 weeks. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's for the farmer. You might think that's great because we just gave you a little bit more free credit. Don't take that wrong, Mr. Farmer or Mr. and Mrs. Farmer. But yeah, we got to get that stuff out timely though.
Yeah. Chad, you've got a good note here. Each of us, if we could pick like one to two things that we're excited about for this new adventure that we've got, what are one or two things that you're excited about? Looks like you're either thinking or you got one on like tip of your tongue.
No, I'm just going to put it back on you. You two first.
Okay. Chad, you wrote this. Let's hear what you have to say.
My thing is just, dispatching, you know, being able to, I got to get a little closer. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine.
You know, like the dispatching side of things. I mean, having a dedicated person kind of doing a lot of the dispatching, you know, we haven't really had that in the past on the legacy Northern Country side. It was pretty much, you know, me and Brady and whoever at those locations were doing some of that stuff. But then the other part is some unique equipment that we haven't had either, you know, being able to maybe, diversify some of our output, you know, where we can maybe do some, you know, maybe more services for a guy, you know, wide dropping the stuff or like putting drop tubes with cover crops, you know, we haven't had that capability before.
But
oh, you're gonna throw it at me. Okay. Yeah. So I think honestly, not to piggyback off of you, Chad, but that central dispatching is it's a tough topic for our northern area.
It's very tough for us because I feel sometimes it's like we
there's
lose
been,
I'm not saying we lose control of what our customers are getting for an experience, but we have to have that trust to be able to do that properly.
Yeah, and making sure it's done right instead of bouncing around from place to place. Now, I've got full control in our central dispatcher right now that he's got her locked down.
He's good. He's good.
And it's been good. So far, so good. I've really enjoyed having him, full confidence in him that we're not going to go to a field that's up here and then come down here and then go right back up there. And it's to the point to where he's going to not be the bad guy, but you almost have to be the bad guy a little bit to say, hey, we gotta keep a schedule. We gotta keep going. And everybody needs that too, right?
Well, and he said that on the call a few times too. It's like, okay, we got some acres up here. Is there any more acres or any more guys we need to visit with?
And he's hungry. He's like, give me these acres. I want these acres.
Cause he's even said it at times on the calls, you know, we get calls every day on what the plan's going to be. And he's like, you know, if we're not going to be up there, if we're going to be up there 2 days from now, we're going to just wait on this thing and kind of go from there.
Yeah. So to sum it up here, Chad, I'm going to also say the central side of it. Honestly, just for myself and being out in the countryside and being able to visit with growers more, I'm actually really excited, really looking forward to that. A lot of my time was stuck putting these orders together, building these tickets, and anybody that's been through this process, it was, you know, for me, it was not until like 2 o'clock till I had somewhat of a penciled in idea. And hey, that's on a normal day. Say it rains, say you got something else, some weather event that totally messes up your entire, schedule. And then you got to start over again. And then you still got to start calling and moving around. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's so far so good. Fingers crossed. I've got really good expectations for it. So,
well, I guess a couple of things that I look forward to is kind of piggybacking off of what you guys already started with. You know, trying to find those new efficiencies that really put us ahead of some of our competitors out there. You know, I say it a lot, but when it comes to service, I see service needing to be equal. Doesn't matter how big your farm is. We need to get everybody in a lineup and take care of acres as they come through. I think this is going to put us in a really good spot long-term. Honestly, I think it's going to put us to where we're executing on those grower expectations far faster than we have in the past. Just getting the processes figured out is kind of the hiccup there. But more tying to that is, you know, how it's all coming together. We've got people from every area of our agronomy department giving thoughts, opinions, helping lend a hand with this to make it work right. So watching that team mentality, that teamwork come together this early in a merger is, it's truly amazing. It's definitely a blessing that we get to live with.
Well, and as one of those people that's on that, that's one thing I appreciate because sometimes, you know, that's always the concern is like, okay, my opinion going to matter in a situation like this? And I think that's maybe the best thing about this thing is, you know, that is one thing we're really focused on. And there's always going to be some good ideas come from all parts of the business.
Well, and then the other piece that excites me about bringing all this together is trying to create that new defining factor of what is our cooperative today? In comparison to where it was built over 100 years ago, there's been so many things evolve in agriculture that just make it almost impossible to conduct business the way we may have 30, 40, 50 years ago. So creating taking that in as a challenge of, you know, how do we service such a wide variety of farming operations and as well as an age demographic out there? You know, it's all over the place from folks that are in their late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way to 70s. So trying to find a method that works for everybody involved is really difficult. You know, we're never going to be perfect, but we try to hit the majority. So really looking forward to how all that comes back together.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. Excuse me. I think from a, exactly what Derek's saying, I mean, we got 4 to 5 generations basically we're dealing with right now. And so whenever you think about excitement or what excites me about this is having a bandwidth of more people or just more resources, quite frankly, to help adapt to that, you know. And don't get me wrong, it's size matters, size doesn't matter. But as it relates to this, you know, some people and size does matter a little bit as far as having the resources to get the right technology in place or whatever it might be to understand the grower's needs or be able to communicate with them in general. So that is a way, but I think all three of you have already said it pretty well as far as different things. I'm just going to take a different approach as far as a couple of the things I'm excited about. You know, I started with the people. I think people's the exciting part of, you know, the people we do have today, but what more people are going to, you know, be introduced into our business as well to help us continue to grow and continue to do what we need to do for the future. We're going to continue to look for ways to be innovative try to set ourselves a little bit different from other companies around us. And that's tough, right? We're a very traditional business. As Derek said, we've been around 100 plus years in all legacy companies. We've been around for a long time. You know, it's very traditional. Co-ops are very, very traditional. Some are a little bit unique, but we're going to look for ways to be a little bit unique as well in every sector. It's not just do it the same old way. The other part that excites me is as far as bringing this together as well, as far as thinking about asset utilization. Our company is already very well set up from like a agronomy hubs, basically the hub and spoke model. You're going to see more of that. You're going to see us probably continue to right size assets in the right place. But reality is we're going to spend in the right place. We got a little bit different type of balance sheet power now as well, picking our assets and picking our partners that, you know, we want to work with and where we want to do things with. But we should be able to act quicker as well whenever we do see opportunities, being a little bit bigger of a company as well, whenever we do see opportunities out there. So that's probably what excites me. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't always mean we got to grow. We're going to grow for the right reasons. We're not going to grow just to grow. But if there are opportunities out there, you know, we're going to find it in our area or even outside of our geography if we do see opportunities. Because we also know that in our world, grass doesn't grow underneath your shoes, right? It just keeps growing. So we got to keep changing. We got to keep changing with the times and the farmer and the technology. And quite frankly, the farmer of today can actually adapt technology a heck of a lot quicker than we can. And that's the scary part too. So how do we stay in tune with that on a normalized basis? We all know some farmers have bigger or even faster, even better equipment than we do in a lot of regards. So how do we keep up with that? I mean, I'm convinced we probably can't in a lot of ways. But you know, we can in a lot of ways as well. So that's just something that's a challenge, Joe.
But there's some other thing opportunities too, like, you know, like on the legacy Northern side, we haven't done this much, but hot mixing capabilities with the new plant. Yep. That was one of our focuses here in the last few years, is one way we can get a little bit better, faster, stronger for some of those growers, because we just didn't have the capabilities before.
Well, you got a couple facilities now, all of a sudden the dry, I think dry too, and I say this, Derek, dry and liquid in that area that quite frankly, this is technology or even equipment that I don't think anybody in the dry area really has as far as being able to do 24/7 type of stuff. Am I right when I say that, Derek?
Yeah, talking with the guys from Kaler, I think our Northwood dry plant's going to be one of the first official plants where you can come and get straight product 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So on the dry side, not liquid, because we got liquid capability, but you're talking dry side, right?
So liquid, correct. When you say that, Brady, yeah, right. Liquid, that we're, I'm not sure, I'm sure others have it in the area of what we did in Statesville. Yeah. Northwood has it as well, but from a 24/7 hour bay. Yeah, go ahead, Derek. That's exciting of what we can do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, one of the hurdles that we overcome when we do try to progress with our fixed assets, we focus on efficiency, right? And trying to put the right people in the right place. And the hard part for us is that, you know, to one of your points that was made earlier, the farmer in a lot of cases has evolved faster than the co-op. So we're playing catch up. A lot of these facilities were built for 6-row heads, gravity wagons, straight trucks. Now we're bringing semis through
facilities. 10-ton tenders.
Yep, 10-ton tenders versus 24-ton tenders, right? Yep. Yeah, not a lot of field driveways that are wide enough to want to get a semi in them.
No, not so, at all.
Although that's getting, I mean, most of these guys got semi, or a lot of these large guys got semis now. I mean, that helps.
I was about to say, that feels like the smallest tender load nowadays is 16, 18-ton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and when you look at that from the past, it used to be less than 10 ton, right? So what does the future hold? And where I feel confident today, where we put those investments, they're going to be here for decades to come. We could double the size of our tinning capacity in the future and still be just as efficient as we can be today.
Like I was spraying in college, I think, with a 60, 80 foot boom. What's the biggest one they make now?
132.
Yep. So I hit a lot of fences with 60 and 80 foot booms.
Well, stay out of the 120s if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Same. That's why I'm in sales.
Yep. You kind of talked on buying power a little bit. Is there any other challenges, I mean, that we're facing in the future and I guess right now between like markets, buying power, anything else you can think of beyond that?
You mean as far as challenges?
As far as challenges that we see going forward.
From a company standpoint, I think the one we don't talk enough about now, I don't think people realize, and it's going to hit the farm gate eventually more and more is insurance. Insurance from our standpoint, as far as just commercial insurance, and this is, it's not just ag, it's not just a cooperative ag retail space. It's anybody that's commercial out there is getting hit pretty hard right now from the insurance sector. I mean, you've seen people, you've heard horror stories of people's rates or premiums jumping even 100, 200, 300%. I mean, we've seen big increases, maybe not quite that large, but we've seen increases that will scare a lot of people, which in the same time we're taking our deductibles up. You know, we had a time whenever is no problem having $10,000-$20,000 deductibles. And now we're talking about $200,000 to $500,000 to $1 million type of deductibles in our property. So that's the part that's probably the biggest challenge in anybody that's running a business right now is that and access to money. And of course the interest rates, we're seeing interest rates right now that we haven't seen
in a long time.
Long time. I mean, I'm looking at
decades.
I'm looking at you, Chad, and Brady. You're the youngest one in the group here. I mean, you've definitely never seen.
How can you tell?
Yeah, it's not your facial hair, but you definitely have not seen these interest rates in your career, or even since you've been borrowing money.
No, but Jason, I mean, my whole farming career. I mean, my highest interest rates were probably when I first got started. You know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And
I've been saying it that way too, Chad. If you're probably in your mid 40s or younger, you haven't seen these rates. Now, if you're over mid 40s, you've seen these rates and maybe it doesn't scare you as much because you've been used to these, especially the growers that are in their 50s and 60s. You've seen these rates
or higher
and a lot higher too back in the early 80s.
Yeah, I think maybe one thing to piggyback off of with Jason is, you know, when it comes to that insurance world, the big disappointing piece is, you know, as a company, we've taken a really solid stance on safety. A lot of creation in that world overall. And the results are there. You know, our workers' comp claims are going down, our misapplication claims are going down. The frustrating part with that one is that, you know, we're getting better at what we're supposed to be doing in the eyes of our insurance company, and our rates keep going up, right?
And, well, the other way to say that, Derek, is, and somebody said this here recently, I'm not going to take full credit for it, but our insurance companies are not lining up at the door for our business.
No, not at all.
We can count them on one hand right now of how many people we can go to. And actually, I could be missing a finger or two and I'd still be able to count them on my hand as far as who we can go to. So we just don't have the options like we used to.
Is it a thing, Jason, if you become a certain size in a certain area that you might even, you were talking about losing even a finger. Is it possible you got no fingers to count on at that point?
Actually, yeah, it is. There's real examples going on out there right now where people are having a hard time acquiring insurance. And it might be because you are just saturated in one area, right? So think back, what's it been, almost 3 years ago now?
We had the derechos.
Is that 3 years ago now, probably?
Three, four years ago.
And, you know, it came across and hurt certain areas hard. Now, I think some insurance companies like to see you spread out a lot more instead of just being in maybe one spot. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying single locations are, you know, penalized because they're single locations, but if you're spread out north to south, east to west, it is a little bit better. But to your question, Brady, there are some people, if you got a history of claims that aren't good, or if you're condensed into an area, you might have a harder time getting insurance. And in an insurance world, they call it going to London. It's kind of your last resort as far as getting insurance. So you hear stories about that, about people having to go to London, and that's what it means, is because you can't get insurance technically to the degree you maybe want, you know, outside of a normal carrier. In this last year, In the ag side, we did lose a carrier. So one that was local as well. So Austin Mutual backed out of writing ag businesses as well here last year also. So pretty, you know, and there's others talking about maybe exiting, you know, this side of the business as well. So again, derecho wasn't our friend, you know, derecho as well as just natural disasters. If you look at really what's happened in the last 20 years, natural disasters are happening more and more and more frequently, all the way from hurricanes, tornadoes, these wind bursts. You know, nobody knew what the heck derecho even was up until about 4 years ago.
I never did.
No, nobody did. And I didn't know. I didn't know how to spell it. But you know, now it's a common, you know, word we use at the dinner table.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and to piggyback on the interest rate, or not the interest rates, we already talked about that.
The insurance.
Ask anybody who signed up for their crop insurance this year. It's not down. No. And that's not just because it's a dry year.
It's not down. The coverage is less.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, the weather events, is that all the reason, or is there other factors that are kind of going in there too?
I'd say assets are another big picture of it. You know, rewind the clock 3, 4, 5 years ago, you would just get more of a blanket broadcast coverage option out there for all of your facilities. Today, the age and the overall condition of facility is something that these insurance companies are putting a lot of scrutiny into. That's going to be another factor that affects our business, let alone our company at some point here soon.
Yeah. Cause we've kind of had that discussion a little bit. It's like, if you had, let's say, God forbid, something happened to a grain setup, I mean, to replace it, to fix, put it back up to the way it was, there's just no coverage there.
No. And I think there was a lot learned from the insurance world when the derecho came through. A lot of new structures were built throughout the state of Iowa and really the Midwest. And what did they replace? Did they replace a site that was brand new? No. Or was it already 20, 30, 40 years old and we ended up with a new one out of it? So, right. we don't necessarily have that flexibility like we used to going forward. So it's a tough one, but it's one that we've got to continue to be strategic and work our way through.
Yeah. So it's not one factor. I think you've heard us talk about a few factors there. The other thing that we're, you know, nobody really wants to talk about is just the inflation that we've had here the last few years as well on everything. So it's just, it's a combo of all those things when we talk about insurance and in where we're at today, unfortunately.
Well, I think a couple of years ago, you know, you had materials costs just skyrocket and, you know, the replacement costs for that. And then the labor shortage, labor issues and stuff. I mean, you know, we're definitely down the highs from where we were a few years ago on materials, but it's probably costing you just as much or more to put the darn thing up too.
Like double.
Between materials and labor. Yeah. It's labor hasn't backed down. Inflation has slowed. Again, it is what it is. And, you know, now recently in the ag sector, we've seen, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some big ag companies with some big layoffs as well here between John Deere Works and then Tyson as well closing a packing plant. Also, it's kind of a big deal going on right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Chad. You bring up the inflation thing. I was talking, heard the story from a grower that they're retaining a shed. I don't know if you've heard this one, but you know, put the shed up for $40,000 and they're going to retain it for more than what they built the shed for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. So it, yeah, it's a real deal.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of the long view, as we look ahead in the future of ag, you know, what systems, productions, you know, things like that. We think about automation, e-commerce, sustainability. What's your take on that? Where do you think that's maybe headed? How can we utilize some of that? How are some farmers utilizing that? What's more or less what your take is on from both of you on that?
I'll start with a back part of what you said there about sustainability. I think that seems like to be the bigger buzzword right now. You know, when I say buzzword, there's probably a few buzzwords, but let's talk about sustainability. That's a word that wasn't in a lot of people's geography up until probably the last 10 years. Before that, it wasn't utilized. Now, I made that term before about the, it's kind of your normal kind of conversation at the table right now. And sustainability is becoming one where people want to understand where their stuff comes from, where their food comes from, how it's growing, you know, is it hormone free, all that stuff. But the sustainability and, again, hell, I had two text messages today from friends asking about what's this carbon intensity thing? And can I explain it? And the answer is no, no, and no. And between that, those words, sustainability, carbon credits, or CI, and then 45Z, you know, those are all kind of the new buzzwords as far as what does it mean? What's it mean to the farmer, the grower, the co-op, the feed department, you know, everybody, you know, agronomy department, how are we going to track all this stuff? And I think that's the exciting one, exciting/nervous at the same time, because nobody has it figured out. We're going through conservation programs right now that, you know, we work with Truterra right now. As far as conservation programs, you know, that's evolving, that's changing, that's going to continue to evolve and change as well as we think about, you know, carbon intensity and what it does mean. And I'm talking about it, but I don't have the answers. And I don't think anybody does. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that everybody's asking the question and there's not one person that has the answer. Now, personally, I have my beliefs. I'm not going to share them on here where this is going long term, but I don't want anybody to hold me to it. But reality is, no matter what we say today, it's going to be different in a few years. Yeah. And I personally don't think it matters what administration's in the office, whether it be one side of the aisle or the other, Republican, Democrat. One thing we do know is both sides have definitely been supportive of the way we're going for low carbon in general.
Well, that was the discussion we had last time with Matt
Kruger. What a perfect transition. Nice
transition
there. I love it.
Well, and that's what Matt Kruger said from Truterra. He's led, this isn't anything to do with the... you know, politics of it. This is all consumer driven.
And where can you hear this conversation?
Well, you can hear it on our last podcast.
Oh, look at that. Awesome. Look at that. I like, good job, Chad.
There, you're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Derek, what do you got?
You know, I'd say, you guys hear me say this often, that we don't want to live in the past, but we should learn from it. Right. And as we think of what the cooperative system means for the future, I get excited about, you know, the areas where we are identifying efficiency, but also where can we regain a focus back into the grower's eyes of the co-op being the place to go for support. You know, I constantly think about all the growers that we have that come and pick up their chemical, come and pick up straight fertilizer, or we're delivering it to their farm versus applying it, you know? So, and that gets me thinking, why does that farmer own a sprayer? And I always come back to, they bought a sprayer because the co-op screwed it up at some point in time. That's why they own it, right? So my hope, my little bit of focus is around kind of getting back into some more tradition when it comes into the service factor of what we're doing for our growers. You know, these machines are still operated by people, but we're getting them more efficient so that hopefully all we've got to do is drive from field A to B. And get the technology working in our favor, and makes things a little bit more a little bit easier to operate, a little bit more effective overall. But how do we get back on that farm providing the services that the cooperative was actually built to provide back to our customers?
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about the technology now, because I mean, you have these barriers with like RowSense, where the darn thing will drive itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that makes it a wonderful thing, because it's like, okay, you know, especially a young applicator or somebody, you know, maybe a little inexperienced, but it allows them to get a leg up on this whole thing. And
I didn't have that to keep me on the fence.
None of us here had, but I mean, that technology is just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, whether it's the services we provide, whether it's financing, really anything and everything that we're doing today, you know, put a focus back into why are we doing it for one. It's back to our member owners, our customer base. But also, what can we bring back in house that over time the growers have taken on themselves because we couldn't execute it properly at the cooperative level. Mm-hmm. Figure out what those initiatives are and come up with a more efficient practice so that we can provide more assistance and service in the future.
You guys have any last minute closing thoughts, ideas, topics, burning questions in the back of your head that you have answers to that?
I'm just scared of the next question you're going to ask.
Well, one of them we kind of failed on is like what factors could maybe get in the way of some of those things on the future side.
Yeah.
That was one of them we missed. Like, you know, demographics, trade, population. I mean, what's your guys' thought on that?
I think you just nailed it. All of them, right?
All of them.
Well, then I should have not said that. Well, forget I said that. Go
ahead. Well, I'd throw out there too that, you know, with the merger, it has put us in a position that the legacy companies weren't in from a logistics standpoint. Whether it's bringing product in by truck, out by truck, rail is going to be a really big one. You know, we've got one hitting us in our backyard right now with the Iowa Northern Railway and the CN coming together. That's gonna put a new dynamic into our procurement practices, whether it be agronomy or sales on the grain side. So we're gonna have some of those hurdles to overcome. But yeah, overall, I think the fun part of it is we've got a team that's up to the challenge that's in front of us today. So we'll take them as they come, one by one. But you know, I tell you that I'm not looking too far out into the future myself. Also don't want to live in the day to day either, but, right. Put as much of this back within our team as we can, develop it as a team, discuss it as a team and move forward as a team. It's been working really well.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. When I think of future, I think, yeah, that's a little bit, Derek says about living in the today or the past or whatever. For me, you know, I have to live a little bit in the future and think about the future a little bit differently from the company perspective. And I do, and that's part of the job I do like. It's also the scary part of the job of like, what is going to change? Where are we going to be? One thing we do know is agriculture is going to continue to evolve. And no matter what, it will evolve. It will change. It will change. That is the one guarantee I do have. Now, where we're at in that segment as far as change, I don't know. But we are here with the right people at the right time and the right place that, you know, hopefully if opportunity presents itself, we will continue to change with agriculture as well. Again, we have to, otherwise we're going to get left in the dust. Literally. So yeah, pretty excited about the future, pretty excited about what we have, pretty excited about the team we have right now to continue to look at opportunities, be able to evolve again. You know, both companies before, we were great companies. We could keep doing what we're doing. We could have, but reality is some of these things are inevitable as far as change and growth, as far as what we're doing. I keep saying as well, the harder part of our past, thinking about the future, no different for us thinking the forward, there's still big projects we have to do. And heck, we're even the size of company. We can't do some of these projects alone. We're going to continue to talk to neighbors or partners about bigger opportunities that we do have, because even though our margin structure hasn't changed as a company that much, but yet our costs, like we just talked about a few minutes ago, our costs of doing something are so much higher right now, where, you know, to think about building something like we did maybe 10 or 15 years ago has just went enormously higher. But yet our margins haven't changed. The way to pay back anything that we're trying to build is not the same either. So something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to change. And that also means we just can't keep doing the same thing we're doing every 8 miles down the road or every 10 miles down the road. And I get it. Some people do not like to hear that. And I know that. But that's also reality. We just don't have the piggy bank for it. And nor does anybody, quite frankly. Nor is it smart decisions to build it like we maybe did. And again, these co-ops were structured or built around, you know, basically community involvement, and communities have changed. I mean, we all know they have farmers. The amount of farmers we're dealing with, amount of customers we're dealing with is only going to keep decreasing as well. You know, farmers are going to continue to consolidate as well. Yeah. So that's a big part of the takeaway here is I get it. People maybe, you know, they join us at what we're doing as far as what we're trying to do as far as growth a little bit. But the farmers are growing too. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty that aren't, but there's plenty that are. We will continue to deal with less farmers as time goes on, especially when you think about the years to come. I don't know. Let's just say we're dealing with, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 farmers right now as a company. You know, that number is only going to go down, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now, it's going to be probably half to 2/3 of that number, I'm guessing.
But you even see that on the farm side too. Cause I mean, you know, I got a couple customers, they share a combine with the neighbor or something like that. It gets to the same, to your point, where it's like, you know, both companies couldn't afford to buy, you know, that class 7, class 9 combine. You know, that's the same conversation those guys are having.
Yep. Absolutely is. And that's, you know, we see this in our communities with our schools as well.
Yeah.
You know, how many consolidations have we seen out there? And it just comes down to Jason's point. We can't have that every 8 to 10 miles apart. But how can we collaborate differently with our growers in anticipation to what changes need to happen in their own backyard? Right. I think that's a huge step forward.
Well, and we see that even in our like school districts locally too, because like there's a lot of like, especially the small schools in like Moore County, they're all part of a consortium, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, That would never happen.
No, we were all worried about the football game on Friday night.
You guys beat us last year by 15. Right. Yeah, screw absolutely. You guys. Right. You bet.
It's funny you say that, Chad. When I first got in this business, that was the real conversation in the boardroom about a high school rivalry. And that's why we didn't talk to the neighbor company, because of some BS between a couple of board members or whatever. And I can say that on this podcast because I think they're all, not on boards anymore. But reality is, like, whenever we were going through this stuff here in the last couple of years, conversations like that don't come up like they maybe did 20, 30 years ago about those different rivalries or, a beef you had or something like that. I mean, we've got to, and I think farmers realize this too, you got to work together. I mean, you can't work separate. Some can do independence, but we've got to work together with others to continue to do what we need to do.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot more than you probably think.
Probably.
I mean, you've seen it too, but for the people that have it, there's a lot of collaboration and to the point where you find out, that they were working together. It's like, I would have never known. And it's just been that cohesive.
Well, I mean, there's only a certain amount of ways to grow and to succeed. I mean, one way is brute force, but you got to pretty much do a 24/7, 365. You can't screw up because you're basically up to yourself, or you collaborate.
Yeah.
And usually collaboration, I mean, that's going to, at the end of the day, that's what we are. Mm-hmm.
Chad.
Yes.
Any last closing comments you got?
I don't, I guess. No.
You left Chad speechless. That doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. So I guess.
All right.
Anything that we haven't discussed that you guys want to maybe just final points.
The only thing I would throw out there is a huge thanks to all of our employees and our customers. Everything that those two groups do truly make us great as a company.
Yeah, I'll echo that completely. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, the employees. Thank to the growers and our customers. We would not be here if it wasn't for everybody.
Awesome. I want to hit you with our little outro here. So where you can listen to the podcast is pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, pretty much anywhere you name it. Also on our website, nexus.coop/podcast, we have our own little player there. On top of that, subscribe, like, whatever you need to do to follow us on our social media platforms. Pretty much anywhere you can search Nexus Cooperative, we're there. I don't think we're on the TikTok and all that yet. But gosh, that made me sound old, didn't it? And I'm the youngest one in the group.
Yeah.
But Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. This video that we're shooting now, this podcast,
this will be actually on the first one that we're going to have a video podcast.
It will be on YouTube. So go check it out on YouTube. Check it out on your listening platforms. But check out our awesome little studio here. We have Chris to thank for that. Done a great job with this. So thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. I know it's tough to get you guys all in one room together, but do appreciate it.
No, thank you guys. You guys do a great job. So I can't echo enough. I hope everybody keeps tuning in here. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing different